Roll the tape.
This podcast is protected by copyright and not for broadcast. See rsn.net.au for more details.
They're set. Away they go.
Now, on TAS Racing Talk, time to talk harness racing.
Dandy Patch final last Sunday in Hobart. It was a great result for the Salter family, Nolan Marlene Salter, the breeders of Boston Hagen, and trainer-driver, their son, Christian Salter, joins us today. How are you, Christian?
Yeah, really well, thank you.
Must have been a great thrill for him to finally turn the tables on his nemesis, Jerry's Jet, in what turned out to be a great final on Sunday.
Yeah, it was. It was really nice. It was quite a bit of a relief as well. I didn't sort of go in there expecting that he was going to win, even though he drew inside the other horse. We wanted to draw better, of course. But I just had a bit of a feeling that that horse may be just a little bit too sharp for him. But as it was, he knuckled in and he done a really good job. So it was quite a relief.
Well, he's only had the four starts. He's been promising to win one. He ran third to Jerry's Jet back on the 12th of May in the Big Park Sweepstakes heat. Came out and ran second in the final, only beaten by narrow margins, and then second again in the prelude of the Dandy Patch, beaten 2.5 metres. Did you have it in mind to try and hold that lead right from the start?
Yeah, it was the case. Sort of try to be in front and just sort of be aware of the other horse, of how quick he is sort of thing. So, yeah, that was always the plan.
It's a tremendous battle, particularly over the last 800 metres. It was head and head all the way.
Yeah, which is one of the things with, well, I guess it'll be with this horse, and in the breed in particular, his half-brother from a couple of seasons ago, O'Grady, he was a horse that quite often, if he was in front, they sort of race off the bit, and, you know, if you like, you could probably call him a bit dumb when they first start racing, because they just don't know what to do much. And so that was one of my concerns, even though we wanted it to be in front. He doesn't know how to race, and they do take a few races to sort of switch on, they do. So, that's just the way I sort of sorted it out.
Well, you've mentioned O'Grady. He was a stake money earner of $85,000 and was also from Also Rosie, your very great producer. She had the 37 starts on the track. She won 11. She was placed 10 times, racing in the mid to late 90s. And she's really made her mark in the barn, hasn't she? She's had six foals to race for six winners, including Boston Hagen.
Yeah, no, she's been a terrific broodmare. She has, unfortunately, she lost a foal last year. But, she's been tremendous. Like, O'Grady was good. Vinokurov, he was really good. Like, I think O'Grady won his year of the Dandy Patch as well. Unfortunately, he broke down, which, you know, one of the things with a couple of them, they have gone that way a bit because they end up being quite big horses.
Well, her six foals to win, Vander Arden, Vinokurov, Gambler's Rustler. Vinokurov topped the $100,000 mark with $105,000. Gambler's Rustler almost got there, $97,000. O'Grady with $85,000. It's what I like about you going well at the moment, $35,000. And now we've got Boston Hagen at $23,000. What are the plans now for the next month or two for this exciting youngster?
Well, basically, on Sunday, he'll line up in the head of the Breeders' Crown. All things, well, hopefully he can go around and win that. There's still a couple of nice horses in that race. It's a small field, but like the horse that ran, Mr. Lennox, he ran third in the sweepstakes. He's certainly going to be, you know, he'll be wound up to make sure he goes well in that as well. If he's fortunate enough to win that, he'll probably have a few days break and then sort of ready for the semi-finals, which I think are on about the 16th of August.
Now, as trainer-driver, you've been associated with a couple of good ones over the years. You've mentioned O'Grady, who really turned out to be a tough customer. There was also Cloudy Delight. That must have been a very great experience to be involved with such a performer.
Yeah, she was a very good filly as well. Fortunately, she made the final of the Breeders' Crown in her season. Didn't have a lot of luck in it, but she was a good horse, she was, and she was very strong, she was. So, Boston Hagen, he's shown, because he's switched on so early, only having the four starts, where, for example, like O'Grady, he took a few sort of, probably half a dozen runs to sort of really switch on. But, he's sort of shown that he has got quite a bit of potential.
How many have you got in work at the moment, Christian?
We've only got about, I think there's seven horses here all up, that's it, there is. So a small team, and just try and do them well.
I'm sure it keeps you busy enough, obviously working hard as well. We wish you all the luck for Sunday night and the future with this very smart two-year-old.
Great. Thank you very much.
Live at 5 every Wednesday on Carnival, Taz Racing Talk.
Time for Harness Racing Talk now. On Taz Racing Talk this week, who better to speak to than the co-development manager in Kevin Nielsen? How are you, Kev?
Yeah, good, thanks, Shane.
What about the performances of our stars on the mainland for the last 7 days?
Well, Nola Mayhem and Barinya fronted up in the VicBred Super Series finals at Melton on Saturday night, and both of them locked wheels and were put out of business in the early stages of the race. Nola Mayhem down the back the first time when she was in a reasonable position, and Barinya when she was charging through the middle of the pack just after the start to go outside the leader. She locked wheels with Tallulah Bay. Both of them were back out to last, and that was the end of the penny section. She did run a very quick split down the back as Rowan sensibly put her into the race still, even though she didn't have much chance. She got to third on the corner, but by then she'd spent her pennies, and she just jogged up the straight, really. Rowan didn't knock her about. It was a great run. No luck at all. She didn't lose any admirers, Shane.
And she'll be going around in Tasmania this week.
Well, the Breeders' Crown heat for three-year-old fillies were scheduled for Hobart on Monday night. There was only one acceptor, Barinya. Now, she's still required to go around. Now, seeing it's a two-and-a-half-hour, three-hour drive for Dickoos from Corolla to Hobart, sensible decision has been made to let her run around at some stage during the Launceston meeting on Sunday night. And by completing the course, she'll qualify for the semi-finals of the Breeders' Crown, which will be conducted at Ballarat, and I think it's on the 16th of August, Saturday the 16th of August, and that'll lead into about the $200,000 finals for the three-year-olds, and that is on Sunday the 24th of August.
And no doubt she'll be one of the leading chances in that race.
For sure. She's one of the leading fillies in Australia. I said the run last Saturday night did nothing to dent that reputation, and I know Dickies is really keen to get back and have another crack and grab some reasonable luck in the Breeders' Crown Series in late August.
Well, she's been firing on all cylinders, and another young man who's been doing the same is Alex Ashwood.
Now, let's go through some performances during the week. Alex is the headline act again. He got a treble at Ballarat last Wednesday night. The first one he drove was for his father, Rod, who trained Mojo Major, and Alex and his mother, Paige, are part owners. Alex followed up later in that meeting with a treble with Western Gretel and Our Dream Lover. Now, Chip and Gale was a mare that was bred by Barry Rattray and his next-door neighbour, Ron Eels. She's a very smart three-year-old. She's out of a half-sister to Gorsebush, being Bar Ron, so closely related to Bow Tide. She's one of Australia's top three-year-old fillies. I think she had about 25 starts in Australia, won about 129,000 in 16 races, sold to America as an early four-year-old, raced right through to 11 years of age. 300 starts altogether, 65 wins, about 85 placings, and just over $500,000 in stake money. 2010, she was bought by the prominent Western Australian breeder Robert Watson. Now, he's also the breeder that purchased Pixel Perfect out of the Tasmanian yearling sales in 2008. And I know he's also purchased Lord Ayres, the star Tasmanian mare who eventually found her way to America as well. And he's brought her back to Australia. So he's got a keen eye for Tasmanian stock, has Mr. Watson, Robert Watson. Now, her first foal, Chip and Gale, is a three-year-old by Art Major, and that won at Mildura last Friday, and it's taken its career record to four wins and three placings and 15 starts. And shown another Tasmanian connection, Ken Rattray. Now, people as old as me, perhaps not you, Shane, but people as old as me can remember Ken competing in Tasmania. He's a relative of the Wayne and Barry Rattray clan. I think he might be a third cousin. Certainly prominent in Tasmania in the 80s and early 90s. He had some star performers. Ebony Mack won 25 races, Bradford Hanover 12, Jesus 12. Went to Queensland, renewed his licence in 1995, and in 2008... gave the training of a four-year-old gelding called Distraos, and he'd had 50 starts in New Zealand, 7 wins, 18 placings. Now, last Saturday night, Rattray took Distraos to Menangle. It's Ken Rattray we're talking about, probably to avoid I'm the Mighty Quinn at Albion Park, and it might have been a good decision. I think the I'm the Mighty Quinn went round and in just a tick over 150 and set a track record up there in his race. Distraos at Menangle won a $17,500 free-for-all, and he's now had 321 starts. 73 wins, 102 placings, almost 600,000 in stake money, and he's fast closing in on what is believed to be the Australian record number of starts for a harness horse, being 377. So the way he's going, in 12 months' time, we'll probably see Distraos with that record. So he's a super horse. Delightful Christian won a M1 M3 mares race at Menangle on Saturday night. Pushed forward, did plenty of work out of the gate. Couldn't lead, got cover, fast race, pulled off the leaders back in the home straight and won convincingly. And the interesting thing about Delightful Christian is that each of her four wins at Menangle, she's improved her time. First win was in 154.4, then down to 154.3, 153.5, and 152.1 last Saturday night. So maybe a stable-made bow tie's had a bit of a chat in her ear and said, look, lift your game, girl, and I'm sure you can do it. And she's, for whatever reason, she's responding magnificently at the moment, Delightful Christian, and certainly putting some super performances on the board. Later on was in the same race, and actually later on's a half-sister to the previously mentioned Chip and Gale. She was a super run in Delightful Christian's race. She came from last and finished fourth, and she's in again this Saturday night at Menangle.
Just worries me how old I am, Kev, because Ken Rattray, I reckon it was, 1984 that he drove Star of Broadway to win the Tasmanian Pacing Championship, and I was calling that race, so that's a real worry.
No, we can question your age, Shane, but we can't question your memory. You're spot on there. He had some very smart horses, and all of those horses I mentioned, Jesus, Bradford, Hanover, Ebony Mac, they didn't win ordinary races. They were up in the best races for young horses, and also Ebony Mac in particular through free-for-alls later in life.
Yeah, absolutely. What about the week coming up?
Oh, huge again, Shane. Melton Friday night, the majority, trained by David Dwyer out of the Brighton Training Centre. He's one of the three harness trainers training from the Thoroughbred Barns at the Brighton Training Centre. He's taken the majority to Melton for an MO heat, race two, number six. And Hugo Play was first up about 3 weeks ago for Bill and Tamara Fordry being the owners. And Hugo Play's entered for an M2, M4, race five, number two. Albion Park on Saturday night, two big Z's in race three, number six, and a little bit of Chicken Fried's taking on the Elite this Saturday night. $45,000 four- and five-year-old championship, and there are some high-class horses in that race, and we'll certainly see how good a little bit of Chicken Fried is. You'll probably go around at odds of 50-1, 66-1 in this high-class race. Menangle on Saturday night, already mentioned that later on's going around. She's in race two, number six, Corralta Impulse, races regularly there for Wayne and Gay Rattray. She's entered in the $50,000 New South Wales Breeders' Challenge, race 7, number 5.
And Sunday night in Launceston, we've got a huge program, 11 races and Barinya.
Yeah, it's an appreciation night for Kevin Gillies. He's facing a significant health challenge, Kev, and the club is acknowledging the outstanding contribution that Kevin is making to harness racing in the north of Tasmania, particularly through the trials with the Northern Tasmanian Light Harness Association. He is a stalwart of those trials, as are usually conducted fortnightly of a Saturday morning. And the club is putting on an appreciation night for Kevin. I'm sure he'll be there with all his many friends and just enjoy a good night of racing, where many of the races are named after horses that Kev used to be associated with. And two divisions of the two-year-old. First time in memory, Shane, I can recall a two-year-old race being divided in Tasmania. It's a very good sign for the future, you know, for good Tasbred horses coming through. Patcher Cutie continues the march towards the Breeders' Crown in race eight, and the exciting three-year-old Franco Sheffield, who I think is going to have a couple of runs in Melbourne shortly, he's attempting his fifth win in race six. I don't think those runs will be in the Breeders' Crown, because I don't think Franco Sheffield is Breeders' Crown eligible. And on the Breeders' Crown, two heats for the two-year-olds are races 10 and 11, and they'll be attempting to qualify for the $20,000 semis at Ballarat on 16 August. And the finals for the two-year-olds are worth almost $300,000. For the three-year-olds, $200,000 at Melton on Sunday, the 24th of August.
And another card coming up in Hobart on Sunday. On Monday, rather.
That's right, Shane. We jumped in there together with that one.
We're excited.
Seven races on Sky One. And the first of the usual start time around 6:17, the last around about 9:16.
And we can catch up with all the latest information on the tasracing.com.au website, including the Punter's Corner, which will certainly lead you in the right direction. Jamie Cockshutt's tips will be on there, and we'll be speaking to Jamie shortly on the show. Thanks for your time again today, Kev.
Yeah, my pleasure, Shane.
Have the pens poised, because now it's time to find some winners at the Harness Racing Meeting coming up in Launceston on Sunday night. A bumper program, 11 races on the card, as we welcome Jamie Cockshutt. How are you, Jamie?
Yeah, not too bad, Shane.
Now, what about this quaddie? How are we going to snare this on Sunday?
Yeah, the first week's a pretty tough race, mate. A few chances. But Mr. Ryan Jack resumed with a very good run about 3 weeks ago when he led, caught plenty of pressure and got run down late, but let it go pretty slick time. He has proved in the past he's got a very good sprint on him and can, and with the right run of the race, he'll take plenty of breathing. The family guy's in career best form, as he'll push through from barrier 9, find the breeze, and you know he'll be there right there to the finish. Cyril from the pocket resumed last week with a good win, but he's up in class here, but is the leader. Paris Express is going to get a good run behind the leader on the peg, so he can run a place. But I'm happy to go from 11, Mr. Ryan Jack, from 9, the family guy, 1 and 8, 0 from the pocket, Paris Express, mate.
Now, in the second leg, you're part owner of Franco Sheffield. You must be pretty pleased with the way he's going at the moment.
Yeah, he's going good at the moment, Shane. We've had a few issues with him after his two-year-old days, but tough footy's back on track, mate. And he'll be very hard to beat in this, but this is his toughest test to date. He's drawn 4. You'll push forward, find the breeze, and try and dictate the race from there, if you will. But Clamorous is a very smart 4-year-old who could also get a good run through, and he's going to be a big danger to Franco Sheffield, mate. So don't take silly odds on Franco. Delightfully resumed with a solid win last week. She'd have to be changed, but this is a lot harder. Put him back, draws to get a good run behind the likely leader, Franco Seals, so he can run a pace at odds and wipe the small punt road disco racing well and complacent. But I'm happy to go 4 Franco Sheffield to beat 9 Clamorous and 8 put him back, mate.
Race number 7, this is the C6, C7 over the mile. Looks to be a number of chances here.
Yeah, very tough race. Melolin's going to go around a short price favourite, but he'll be fitter for his last run, but he's a little bit disappointing. You know, I've got a bit of a rap on Melolin. I was a bit disappointed in the run. He'll find the breeze tonight, so he'll try and dictate the race from there. But talk about Dexter's racing career best form, but he draws barrier 7. So he's going to need a bit of luck over the mile. Mill Park Maestro, as you know, he likes to bowl along up front, so he's going to be up outside the leaders, keeping the speed on. A Madman Comes Undone drops back from free-for-all class and resumes here. And on his best form from the pole, he'd take a power of beating, but just not quite sure where he's at. I pity the fool. He's got some hope at good odds as well, mate. So I'm happy to go 3 Melolin, but don't take the silly odds on it, mate. From 7, talk about Dexter. 1, A Madman Comes Undone, and 6, Mill Park Maestro.
Race number 8, the free-for-all.
Well, we see Patrick Cooter going around again, mate. He's clearly the one to beat. Remember Joe, as we know, he took Patrick Cooter a long time to run him down. Three starts back from Remember Joe and last up Patrick Cooter. If he can hold the lead again, Remember Joe, over the mile from the mobile, he's going to take a bit of catching, but Patrick Cooter's class should get in there. Our chain of command's going to get a good run in transit. Especially if Remember Joe holds the lead. And Our Mouse Dreams, you know, been pretty impressive in his 3 local runs here, so he'd be a good place to enter as well. But Patrick Cootie's clearly the one to be from 1 and Remember Joe and 4 chain of command, mate.
So how are we going to go about constructing a quaddy for Sunday night?
We'll go 2 quaddies. We'll go a quaddy, first leg, we'll go 1, 4, 7, 8, 9, 11. Second leg, we'll go 4 and 9, putting Clamorous just in case. Third leg 3 and 7, last leg 3 just Patrick Cootie by itself. $24 give you 100%. Then we'll go another one, which we'll go a bit wider in the third leg, just in case Melolin gets beat. We'll go 1, 4, 7, 8, 9, 11 into 4 and 9. Into 1, 2, 6, 8, 9 into 3. $36 flexi cost give you 50% of the dividend, mate. There's a couple. One, a better bet on the night, race 1, number 1, Grace Campbell. She's a very handy 2-year-old, pretty much. She's drawn the pole, and if she holds up, she should just win, mate. I'd be very disappointed if she don't. And we'll play that race as a bit of a race for the exotics, mate. We'll go 1, Grace Campbell to win. From 8, Crowder Jasmine is going to get the dream run on her back, and you know, we'll pose a bit of a danger. We'll chuck in numbers 2, 3, 4, 7 and 9 for third for the trifecta. $5 dividend will give you 100%. And we'll just reverse them around, mate. We'll go 1 to win, 2, 3, 4, 7, 9 for second, 8 for third for $5 dividend and 100%. Also go a first 4 that race, mate. 1 to win, 8 for second, 2, 3, 4, 7, 9, third and fourth, $20 plexi, 100%. And 1 to win, 2, 3, 4, 7, 9 for second, 8 for third, 2, 3, 4, 7, 9 for fourth, $20, 100%, mate. There's a couple of each way bets on the program too, mate. Race 3, number 2, Cardinal Speck, was very good run last week when coming from a long way back. He's drawn 2. I don't think he'll be able to utilise the draw because he was high out last week from the pole, but if he's close enough, Ricky Duggan jumps on board tonight. He looks a good each way bet. As does race 9, number 5, Jane Grant, who's dropping back from the beam box final into a much easier race.
What about the program in Hobart on Monday night?
We'll just go over a quick look at the quality of Hobart chain. We'll go the first league numbers 4 and 5. Second league will go numbers 2, 5, 8, 9. Third league will go 5, 6, 8, 9, 10. Last league 1, 2, and 4. $60 flex will give you 50% of the dividend, mate. And there's a horse I've been noticing the trials for us having its first start on Monday night called race 4, number 4. It's very strange to me. Mau Undy Sunday. Been trialling very good and gets into a very winnable race on debut, so I think, you know, she's a good bet. And there's a one of the huge odds will go around. Race 5, number 2, Better Bolt. Finally draws the barriers on Monday night, and with any luck, you know, can place, if not win it, you know, probably 30 or 40 to 1, mate.
Good on you, Jamie. And if you want the edge on the Tassie Harness Racing, just head to tasracing.com.au and follow the links through to the Punter's Corner on the Harness Racing section, and you get all Jamie's tips for the bumper program in Launceston on Sunday night, and again the big card of racing in Hobart on Monday. Thanks for your time again today, Jamie.
Thanks a lot, mate.
This podcast was brought to you by rsn.net.au.